Blondie, Union City Blue on the home of Rock, Sport and Talk. It's Radio City Talk. My name's Mick. I do hope you're well. I mentioned before the nomination for visual effects. I thought there was a local link. I knew there was. Laura Brown, who's a regular contributor to us here on the programme, her brother was one of, she says, 5,000 people doing visual effects for Star, let me get this right, Avengers Infinity War. That's Avengers Infinity War. So there you go. A bit of a local nomination from an Oscars point of view as well. And I'll also read out a statement as well from Denise Fergus, who's just issued a statement. Now, there was a movie which was being made. It was a short, and there was a campaign to stop it being selected for one of the Oscars for short film. Denise Fergus has just tweeted, "I cannot express how disgusted and upset I am at this so-called film that is made and now nominated for an Oscar. It is one thing making a film like this without contacting or getting permission from James's family, but another to have a child reenact the final hours of his life before he was brutally murdered, and making myself and my family having to relive this all over again. After everything I've said about this so-called film and asking for it to be removed, it's still been nominated for an Oscar, even though over 90,000 people signed a petition which has been ignored, just like my feelings by the Academy. I'm so angry and upset at this present time. I personally want to thank everyone that has signed the petition up to now, and hopefully will carry on supporting me in this. I just hope the film doesn't win its category in the Oscars." So that particular story continues on, but that movie, Determined, has now been nominated in that particular category, despite the ongoing petition, which has got more than 90,000 signatures on it. Are you with Radio City Talk, coming around to 2:30.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Extra on a Tuesday. Jake Mills is in the studio. Jake, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I was talking about you a little bit earlier on.
Yeah, I wasn't listening. Not because I was listening to anything else. I was. But now with the City Liverpool team. So tell me, who did you have?
So you, we had Sean and we had Mike on from City Liverpool Football Club. They've got their event on Saturday night at Smithdown Social. You're one of the speakers.
Yeah.
Jane Boland's one of the speakers as well, who's a regular contributor to us here at the station as well. Vinnie Peculiar and DJ Dean Mack as well, who are both apparently mental health minded in terms of their professional status outside of the music that they play.
Yeah. Do you know what? I have to say, it's a great approach to it. And we done an event earlier this year, last year, where we had a wellbeing day at City Liverpool. The team wore T-shirts before in the training, before the match, and we let off balloons and we had fundraising, and we had a drop-in tent for anybody who wanted to open up or to speak about their mental health. It just shows that, you know, these things can be done. And I think so many times people avoid the conversation because they don't know what to do. And when you've got people like Mike associated to the club who do have the history and the experience of being able to bring what's the job to the club as well, it just shows that you can do it. And also the appetite, because there was not one person, certainly, that I was aware of when we'd done the last event who said something like, "Oh, why are we talking about mental health?" Everyone from the players to the managers to coaching staff to fans all just totally were cool with it and wanted to, you know, help us out. And you know, they might not necessarily have opened up, but they didn't kind of say anything bad against it. So it just shows that, you know, just let's stop being awkward about it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to find out more information, City Liverpool Football Club are organising that Smithdown Social. It's a ticketed event, but they essentially said, look, go on down.
Yeah.
And it's free.
I'm just thinking, I didn't know this. DJ Dean Mack could well be Dean McShane, who you've had as a guest from Chester University. That would make sense.
Oh, it would now.
I know he's in a band.
Because Mike Caulfield, who was on the show, was talking about that he was one of the linked with Chester.
Yeah. So
it's was mod stuff, and he's got the haircut.
Yeah, there you go. It's D. McShane.
Oh, it's a small world, isn't it?
I know. He's a talented guy.
Let me ask you about, remember what we did last time? It was Blue Monday.
Yeah.
We did the 24-hour show, didn't we?
Yeah.
Now, Blue Monday this year, officially, was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time, I think we picked a random day at the start of the year, and we did Mental Health Monday. So we said, well, let's pick a day. Oh, there's a day which is supposed to be the most depressing day of the year.
Yeah.
for that reason, we used that as the hook, but then it became about doing the mental health marathon. I noticed there was quite almost an angry reaction to people talking about it being Blue Monday this year. We weren't doing a 24-hour show. We're doing something a little bit different in a couple of weeks' time, but I'll tell people about that a little bit closer to the time. But I was surprised by how angry people were, because I don't think in saying it was the most depressing day of the year, you're not then saying that people don't have problems at other times in the year, that people might not have had, you know, trouble sometimes through September or October. It's one of those silly things. In the same way, if you're talking about, you know, International Women's Day, you're not saying there's no other day for women at any point during the year. I think if that focuses people's attention or grabs people's attention for a split second, part of me thinks, well, as long as you're not being sold something,
exactly,
then I think that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, personally, I totally agree with you. I think the anger is that it does, scientifically there's nothing behind it being the most depressing day of the year, and allegedly, you know, it was a day that was created to sell holidays. Is essentially what you know, it was a marketing ploy, really. But I totally agree with you. If it's a day or if it's not a day, officially, if people are recognising it as a day or people are hearing about it as a day, then what we should be doing is grabbing that opportunity to talk and to promote a message and to get that out there. And whether you want to do that by saying, I know locally Liverpool One gave away bouquets of flowers to, you know, just to put a smile on people's faces. If you wanted to put out a message to say we're here every other day of the year as well, it doesn't matter, as long as you're using it. I think grab that opportunity where people are aware of something and take it. I don't think that we're in any position to say, well, it's not an official day, so we're not going to talk about it, because ultimately we talk about it every day anyway.
And there was a coffee shop down on Man Island as well, which were doing, I think they were doing like free coffees last week. Basically saying, oh, come on down and get a free coffee. But I think they had like a menu on the Friday, and it was like to get like a muffin, you had to give the person next to you in the queue like a compliment.
Oh, that's nice. But it's better. But I thought you were going to say they done free coffees all week and then not on Blue Monday. So they had to get. So if you were stood next to somebody, let's say a woman, what would you do? What would you give as a compliment? I know it's hard because you don't know what they look like, but how would you go?
I love your shoes.
Yeah.
Shoes is a good one, right? If it was you, I'd say I like your haircut. I don't think I'd pay random strangers compliments often enough.
No, it makes me really uncomfortable, the idea of that. I don't know if I want a muffin, not much.
You know the thing that people do? It's so funny, this. If you ever get a bunch of flowers, go and buy the cheapest bunch of flowers and just walk around town. And the number of people will go, oh,
I know. But also you feel horrible carrying those flowers, don't you? Go, oh, God. People are going to think I've done something.
You're going to be thinking like, oh, yeah, like you're going to think like, oh, what's going on? What's the story here? Yeah. There was a thing, wasn't there, on the internet once, and it was a picture of, it was like a box of Fosters. You know, like one of those piles of Fosters you see in a supermarket, and a bunch of flowers placed on top. And someone just commented, choices were made here. But it's that thing where you think, what do you say to that? You know when people do that slightly awkward thing? Whereas now I always just go, oh, I've been looking everywhere for you. That's what I always say.
Oh, that's what you do.
As if I've been walking around town looking for that. But you have to say that three or four times, because the number of people go, oh, are those for me?
Yeah. And then you're just full of bants, though, aren't you? So that's what you say. Be looking for you.
I feel the need to say something.
Until you get to the end, you just go, just... Yeah, I'll stop myself there.
Last Monday, I was at a do, and I was speaking to the Bauer Media CEO.
Yeah, what was this do?
It was a do over in Manchester.
Yeah.
And it was quite a good do. And he was saying well done for doing the mental health marathon. So he actually said it was listening to the mental health marathon a year ago on Radio City Talk that inspired the whole Bauer Media Company, which is one of Europe's biggest broadcasting and magazine empires, to try and do something about changing the law, which is oddly where the Where's Your Head At campaign came from. And I thought we were kind of part of it and part of this sort of new wave of sort of mental health awareness and stuff like that. But he said, no, that was the thing that they did that made the thing, oh, we need to do something. So for this week, sorry, back end of last week, for that to go before Parliament and MPs to sort of stand up and start talking about that with a view to changing the law, made me think, actually, there is ability to change things in regard to the world of mental health in ways which maybe you can't affect or change other things. That it feels like we're in a slightly new world and a new way of thinking. And actually, most people are pretty open to new ideas. The idea of there being a mental health first aider in every workplace seems to be one, when you listen to the arguments, that makes absolutely perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what? I think it's absolute credit to you and to the station for dedicating the time to this. It's not just a kind of, I don't know, you know, a gesture thing. It's something that you say is about it. But with the greatest of respect to the station, to yourself, you know, this is a small regional station. And look at the power that what you've done and what you've achieved. Look what it's, that effect that it's potentially going to have. Which could lead to a mental health first aid in every workplace being compulsory. You know, that's huge. And it makes me sad at the same time that these larger organisations and companies within the media who then do the complete opposite. And they don't see the kind of the devastating effects that some headlines can have, some reporting can have. There was only one, I think it might have been yesterday, in one of the... in one of the broadsheets, I think, talking about basically mocking somebody for taking their own lives by suicide because they were crying over an iPhone or something, you know, completely the opposite of what they should be doing, that responsibility that they have as within the media. And I think everybody should look at what you've done and that kind of legacy that could be leading. And see what they can achieve as well. It doesn't take a lot for them to change things and be positive. I think sometimes they're a little bit scared that positivity won't sell. But the negativity is massively damaging and will cost lives.
What will mental health first aid look like, you know, if it was to become law and suddenly you've got to get... so there are organisations like Mental Health First Aid England and so on and so forth, but then I guess if suddenly every single workplace has got to have a mental health first aider, suddenly you're looking at training and getting that training turned around. Now, you do training courses through yours, but there's very different organisations as well. Is there an infrastructure in place that would be ready for mental health first aiders in every single workplace?
I don't want to speak on behalf of Mental Health First Aid, but I do think that it would be a transition. It would be something that would have to be done over a period of time. But particularly an organisation like Mental Health First Aid, who do have a lot of people through the trainer programme that they have, you know, they're ready and willing and waiting to go. I have to say that I've got a huge respect for Mental Health First Aid and everybody who's associated with that. And you know, we're happy to work with them and be partners in some of the work that we're kind of looking at as well. They include us and the Hub of Hope in the latest edition of their booklets as well. So there's the people who we do support. In terms of what we do, we almost fill that gap. So through the Ambassadors of Hope training that Chasing Stigma launched at the end of last year, we almost filled a gap, and we offer a basic level of understanding and training that we're saying have your mental health first aiders, and then for everybody else who wouldn't necessarily be able to go through that training because of time, because of financial commitment to that, then we'll come in and we can give everybody a basic understanding. It's just about creating that environment of understanding throughout the workplace, because ultimately that's where you spend your time.
But is there a danger that if there is a you know, you got, right, that's the person, it's Jake.
Yeah.
Or it's producer John. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly there's one person in the building who you can talk to about mental health. Does that sort of move things away from the fact that everybody should have a little bit of awareness? Isn't it about everybody having a little bit of awareness rather than that reactive thing?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think, you know, mental health first aid would say let's have a number of people, not just one. But again, that's where we come in, and we would like to think that we can complement Mental Health First Aid England and what they're trying to achieve by saying have the 1, 2, 3, 4, however many you want to have as mental health first aiders, and then we will look after everyone else, and we'll have that basic understand throughout an organisation. We're talking, you know, we've had Everton Football Club who've made that commitment, having just over 500 members of staff trained in the Ambassadors of Hope training. We've got the Regenda Group, 700 members of staff trained in that. We've got Mashbow who have had that training, Advocacy Focus who have had that training up in Accrington. And we're talking to some big players in the kind of the corporate world about having that understanding throughout an organisation. But then if you have the mental health first aiders as well, then, you know, you are creating that place where people will feel comfortable to be able to talk about it and seek help and know how to deal with situations. It's really not rocket science. I think it was interesting to hear the debate, because I think everybody agreed that it's not rocket science and it makes complete sense.
Well, but in many ways, because basically employers have got the duty to look after their members of staff, that if they break their toe or finger or have a cut, they have to deal with it on the spot. Yeah. And actually, physical and mental health are parity of esteem, as enshrined by a law from I think when the Lib Dems were in coalition. So therefore, they should actually, that's almost already written in
exactly
to the rules and the regulations.
And it's just making the tools available and knowing that you know that what is out there. And I think if nothing else, by having a debate and the level of kind of attention that it's received, will allow businesses to know about the support that is actually available and that they can bring people in to equip their staff in that training. And again, it's not about being an expert. If somebody was to say, let's talk about on a building site and were to have a heart attack, that the first aider will know certain steps to follow before they contact the emergency services. They're not trained to be able to help them and, you know, be the expert in that. And it's exactly the same way with a mental health crisis. There's certain things to follow, and then you get the experts involved.
And I guess as well, if you learn about it in the workplace, you get the ability to take it into your private life as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's endless, really. It's whether that's for you personally, it's in the workplace, it's for families, for friends. It's, you know, it's just life. It's preparing you for life. But as I said, the majority of your time is spent in work, so that's where you need to be having it.
See what I had to do there? I had to play devil's advocate against the policy which this show was partly behind.
Yeah, but that's why
I was trying to find flaws in my own arguments here.
Yeah.
But I think I gave you a tough enough time over that particular issue.
You also gave me a chance to promote what I'm doing as well.
Oh, there you go. So really, everyone's a winner. You can hear this week's Mental Health Monday podcast, which is available via all podcast providers. And it was episode 98.
Yeah.
So we're getting quite close to episode 100, Jake. I'm hoping to plan something quite big for episode 100. I think we should go big on episode 100. I sometimes need a little Jiminy Cricket sitting on my shoulder saying, you're doing that right, you're doing that wrong. No, don't say that. Will you be my Jiminy Cricket?
Yeah, gladly. Yeah. If you're asking me to tell you when you're going wrong, then I will gladly do that.
It's something you will take great pleasure in doing. Episode 100 is a couple of weeks away, but episode 99 of Mental Health Monday is coming this Monday. And then the big one into the three figures as well, something we will continue to do. And hopefully we've got a really important show lined up for that one as well. We're just waiting to dot the I's and cross the T's on something pretty special. But hopefully it's going to be something which will really once again put mental health and hopefully Liverpool on the map in regard to the work that it's doing.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.